I'd like to turn to Philippians in chapter 3. Many of us have been Christians for a number of years, and just like we want our children to grow up to maturity, our Heavenly Father wants us to grow up to maturity. We are very disappointed when our children seem to always remain immature and childish. And you can be sure that the Heavenly Father is also sad when His children are immature in their Christian life. We're not angry with our children who are immature. We love them. We want to help them. Even if they behave like children when they are 20 years old, we're not angry. We want to help them. That's the thing we must remember, that God is never angry with us, but sometimes He's disappointed. A loving father will be disappointed if his child does not develop as he should. And that's not wrong. I mean, it's a very irresponsible father who's not disappointed. So God loves us much and He wants us to be mature and not be childish. And it says here in Philippians 3 verse 15, the word perfect here is translated in my margin of my Bible as mature. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, Philippians 3:15, have this attitude, which he has mentioned in the previous verses. And if you have a different attitude, God will reveal it to you, if you're really serious about being mature. However, don't get discouraged, verse 16, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Thank God for what He's already done in your life. So there's no place for discouragement in the Christian life, even if you find you're not as mature as you should be. God wants us to press on to perfection all the time. If you look at yourself the way a loving father would look at his children and see that God sees you in that same way, you will never be discouraged. Never, never, never. Because no matter how many your weaknesses and how many your faults, God still wants you to grow and become mature just like you want for your children. And a good father will be very patient in trying to teach his children the right way in any area. And I want to tell you from my own experience that the Holy Spirit is very patient in the way He seeks to lead us on. The Holy Spirit does not put us all in one class and like a teacher stand up in front and teach us. He gives us personal tuition. You know, it's only the children of kings and queens who have personal tuition with the teacher. That's how the Holy Spirit treats us. We are the children of a king. And He deals with us individually. He's not going to say the same thing to the person next to you as He says to you, even in a meeting. You must see that the Holy Spirit deals with you personally because you're a precious child of God. And He will show you exactly what you need to do, and you don't need to worry about the others around you. So what is this attitude that he says in verse 15? Let us who are mature have this attitude. And that is, let me read from verse 12. That's the attitude he wants us all to have. Paul says about himself, I have not become perfect. That all of us will acknowledge. But there are two ways in which we can acknowledge it. I mean, it's not difficult for us to say we are not perfect. Just go and ask your wife or your husband. They'll tell you pretty quickly that you're not perfect. Even if other people think you are. The ones who live closest to us know that we're not perfect. We might as well acknowledge it. We're not perfect. But it's not enough to acknowledge that. I've not yet become perfect. I've not yet become fully like Christ. But I don't sit back and say forever and ever I'm not perfect. I'm pressing on. It's like I sometimes take the example of a child who's just joined the kindergarten at the age of 4. And you ask him, what's your ambition? He says, I want to get a PhD in some very complicated subject like nuclear physics or something like that. This 4-year-old, imagine the ambition that 4-year-old has. When are you going to get that, son? Oh, it'll take a while, but I'm going to get there. And he's never going to tire of pressing on to that. When he gets to first grade, second grade, third grade, he's got to get a PhD in nuclear physics. Think if we had an ambition like that. Lord, I'm going to be like you. That's my ambition. I'm not going to sit in the kindergarten forever. I'm going to press on. I'm going to go to the first grade and second grade. I know I'm not going to jump up there all of a sudden. It may take me 20 years to get there, but I'm going to get there. Let those who are mature, those who want to behave like mature children of God, not like babies. Let me paraphrase it like this. Those who don't want to be babies, let us have this attitude. That's basically what it says in verse 15. And that is, acknowledge first of all that I have not become perfect, but I want to become perfect. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. When you think of parents who send their children to the most expensive schools and colleges and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, which other parents cannot afford, to give their children the best education, what would you think of a son or daughter who is like a wastrel in that college? I believe that a lot of God's children are like that. When you think of the tremendous price that Christ has paid, which is far more than hundreds of thousands of dollars a parent may spend on a college, in order that we might get a spiritual education, and that is to become more and more like Christ every year. So we must not sit back and say, I'm not perfect. That's only one part of it. We must say, I'm not perfect, but, that's how verse 15, 12 is. I'm not perfect. I've not become like Christ, but I'm pressing on. If you can say that, but I'm pressing on, you're okay. But if you just sit back and say, well, I'm not perfect. When somebody corrects you about something, I've heard believers talk like this. Somebody says, hey, that's not the way you should behave. You say, well, I'm not perfect. They shrug their shoulders and it appears to me they have absolutely no intention to be perfect. They'll be in the same condition 10 years from now. There is no but. I want to press on. Thank you, brother, for showing that to me. I'm very happy that you pointed out something in me that's not Christ-like. I want to be perfect. I hope you have that type of passion. Then you will never be offended with anybody who corrects you. You'll be very thankful. If you were doing a mathematics sum wrong, say in the second or third grade, and you had a teacher who lovingly came and told you, listen, son, my girl, that's not the right way to do it. Would you be upset with that teacher? That teacher is not trying to pull you down, it's trying to make you better. Please have that attitude to any godly brother or sister who comes and corrects you in some area. I've had a number of people who've corrected me in my younger days, and even as I've grown older, and I tell you before the Lord, I'm thankful for every one of them. I see them as teachers who showed me there was something defective in the way I worked out that problem. It's not the way to do it. Thank you for showing me. There's a better way. And so we are here to help one another in pressing on to perfection. So Paul says here, brethren, again, he repeats the same thing. I have not laid hold of it yet, but... See, there's always that but whenever he says, I've not become perfect. Twice in those two verses. And whenever we say, I've not become like Christ, you must say, but. That's what we learn from these two verses. I've not become like Christ, but. That was not the way for me to behave there, but. When you speak to your wife or your husband, and it was not the right way to behave or speak, you say, I'm sorry, that's not the way I should have spoken, but it's going to be different in the days to come. Because I'm seeking to press on to perfection. I pray there'll be a but in your life always, whenever you recognize or when somebody shows you in your life that something is wrong. Don't get offended. Think of a teacher who's trying to help you to get that problem correctly so that you can advance to the next class. Always. And if people are afraid to correct you, you are in a very sorry state. You should be very open to correction. I remember once a brother way back in India many years ago came to me and said, "Brother Zach, you're my elder brother. I want you to speak straight to me or correct me wherever you see I'm wrong." And I did. And he got offended and left the church. He wasn't serious. He was hoping that I would say, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with you, brother." You know, like all these foolish preachers who just butter people and make them happy because they want their money. I say, "I'm not going to be that. I'm concerned about your eternal destiny. And so I'll tell you the truth." So be thankful for anyone who comes and corrects you. And don't ever get offended. Getting offended is the mark of a child who is not only in the kindergarten, but repeatedly failing in the kindergarten. That's a person who gets offended with something somebody said or something somebody did not say or do. "He didn't greet me that Sunday." Are you offended that somebody doesn't greet you? Forget it, man. Grow up. Don't behave like a kid. "Somebody didn't greet me." Can you imagine somebody getting offended with something as silly as that? That's okay for a 3-year-old. Not for anybody above that.